I had a teacher that used to say that it is no accident that dog is God spelled backwards. Look in the mirror, she would say. Dog is the mirror image of God. I've seen bumper stickers lately that read, Dog is love. The first time I saw one, I had to do a double take to make sure I had read it right. Living in the South, I've seen hundreds of bumper stickers that read, God is love. I kind of miss those, too. Nowadays, bumper stickers say weird things, like, God drives my car. And you look in the car, and there's a caveman covered in tattoos sitting behind the wheel. He looks like he hasn't had a bath or combed his hair since 1972, and he's smoking a cigarette. God, is that you? Not long ago, a dog came up on our property. He was a nice-looking medium-sized dog. He had a little scruffy face. He was so adorable. He looked like some type of terrier mix that had just walked off a Hollywood movie set. He could definitely star in a Return of Benji movie. This little shy dog would step just a few feet out of the woods, and when my roommates and I looked at him or spoke to him, he would disappear. This went on for days. Each day he would come a little closer and then disappear. We started calling him Casper, as in the Friendly Ghost, the old cartoon character from our youth. It seemed he hadn't had much human contact in his life. He looked hungry and was without a collar. I was the first to give in. I can't seem to resist stray dogs and people, so I put out a little food for him. He waited until we went inside the house, and then he came up and ate it. After about the third or fourth day of this, he let us pet him. We already had three dogs and didn't want another, but we didn't want the poor thing to starve while we were trying to decide what to do. I guess he was so obliged about the food we gave him that he decided to work for us. He decided to show his gratitude by chasing away a group of cyclists that rode past our farm. He took off out of the hayfield adjacent to our house, barking and nipping at the cyclists' heels. The following morning, two men in black and red spandex were banging on my door. "May I help you?" I asked as I walked out on the porch. "Lady, we are, and I'm not making this up, biking for Jesus. And yesterday, your dog almost got us killed. That dog is vicious. Do you have any idea how much money we paid for these cycling clothes?" I realized at that moment his question must have been a rhetorical one, since he wasn't waiting on an answer from me. I looked at his tight black and red shirt and very tight black and red spandex shorts. He had on matching gloves with the fingers cut out. He had on a bicycle helmet with the red lightning stripe running down the middle of it, and matching black shoes. Before I could summon a figure in my head about how much all of that would cost, he shrieked at me. "Your dog's a terror!" "Terrier," I quietly corrected him under my breath. The biggest problem for me with all of this was that I hadn't yet finished my morning coffee. Had I done that, I would have processed all this information a little more quickly. For example, I would have said, "Did you say biking for Jesus? Does he know you're doing that?" I would have wondered whether or not they had missed the t-shirts and bumper stickers, bracelets and balloons, book covers and beer steins, all asking one very important question. What would Jesus do? I don't think Jesus would necessarily want someone riding around in tight underwear, yelling at people, picking on stray dogs, and claiming to be doing it all for him. I think he would wear a pale blue silk robe, walk softly, and pet the dog. The man reached into his pants, and I instantly took a step back. In the blink of an eye, he whipped out a cell phone he had tucked somewhere in those skin-tight pants. He frantically started punching in numbers. Then he said, "We got her. Uh-huh. She's right here. Uh-huh. Yeah. You want to talk to her?" And he handed me the phone. "Hello?" I said, barely touching the phone, as I knew generally where it had been. "Ma'am, this is Animal Control. Do you want us to come pick up the animal?" "What animal are you referring to?" I asked politely. "There's been a report of a very vicious dog attacking people, and it's coming from your property." "Well, I have three dogs, all of whom are always either in the house, in the backyard fenced in, or on a leash, walking with me." "Well, a dog is coming off your property and attacking people. If it is your property, then it is your dog, and you are responsible. Now, I'm going to ask you one more time. Do you want us to pick up the dog?" She sounded very strange. "Well, I have 32 acres, 12 of which is a hardwood forest. I can't control every animal that crosses my property. Ma'am, if it's on your property, it's your dog. Now tell me, do we come and get that dog? If we don't, you are responsible for everything it does. Okay, I sighed. I guess. I handed the man in black his phone, trying not to look as he stuck it back in the place from where he pulled it. You're doing the right thing, ma'am, he said. That dog is very, very dangerous. He's a vicious attack dog. I looked up, and sitting just behind the two men on my front porch was Casper. You mean that dog? And I looked over at Casper. Both men jumped, looked terrified, and spun around at the same time towards the dog. Casper walked up softly and sat quietly at my feet. I reached over and touched his head. Is this him? I asked, patting Casper's little soft head. Yeah, that's him, snarled the larger man, the one who spit when he talked. He might not look like a killer, but he is. Does Jesus know you're picking on little lost animals? I said in my head, but not out loud. Oh, okay then, I say out loud. The two men turned, walked off my porch, and mounted the $1,000 bicycles they bought for Jesus. A few minutes later, my electrician showed up to do some repairs in the house. He walked up, saw Casper, and patted the cute little dog on the head. Hey, little bozo, he said to Casper. So you all got yourselves another dog, huh? I told him Casper's history and about the cyclist and the lady from animal control. No need for that, he said. I can give this dog a good home. I've been looking for a good dog like this for my grandson. Happy, I said, I'll call animal control and tell them not to come. I called the lady back at animal control, and she said, I kept asking you about the dog because I wanted to make sure you were not under duress and couldn't answer. Oh, I said, it was sort of distressing to have two men in tights showing up before I even had a cup of coffee and then spit and yell at me, but duress, no. Though I did understand a little more now her strange behavior on the phone. I told her everything was fine now, that our electrician wanted the dog, and they didn't need to drive the 20 minutes out to the country to pick him up. Then, for the second time that day, someone started screaming at me. Lady, you can't just give that dog away. That's not your dog to give away. He may have an owner. I don't think he has an owner. I went on to explain how he had been very afraid of people, and he was starving, and he had no collar or tags. We had been asking around all over the place and posting signs trying to find an owner, and no one was calling or showing up. She screamed at me again, Lady, we're coming up there to get that dog, and he better be there. He is not your dog to give away. Well, you said he was my dog 10 minutes ago when he was running from my property. And he was my dog when he was supposedly vicious and threatening people. But now, when I can get him a good home, he's not my dog. That dog had better be there when we get there. She seethed into the phone. I got off the phone to go tell the electrician. He and Casper were gone. Disappeared. Just like ghosts. I went back in and called animal control and told them not to come. Give me the name of that electrician! The lady shrieked into the phone, sounding eerily similar to the cycler for Jesus. I wondered what Jesus would do, and then, inspired, I hung up the phone. My electrician came back later that day. He told me that Casper had just disappeared into the woods again when I'd gone in to make that phone call. Smiling, he said, that sure was a nice dog. Looks similar to my grandson's brand new dog, Bozo. Is that right? I grinned. Yeah, my grandson sure does love his new dog. God is love. Dog is love. Dog is God. And as for Jesus, he never wore spandex.